There we go. Hey guys, back for the end of round eight. Sorry about last week, but I got to hear other people recording on my podcast, which was great. And one of those voices that we had was Richard. How are you doing?
I'm very well, David, and yourself?
Yeah, good, good. So got to hear you guys say some very incorrect things about my team, but apart from that, I was having a great time.
Well, we're always welcome to annoy the fans of any particular teams that we don't support.
No, it was good. It was really good analysis. We are, like I said, we've just done round eight, so we're going to go through round eight, and we're going to have a look at round nine as well, and let's just see what we think about what's going to happen in round nine. But first of all, what happened in round eight? We have an updated HyperMs top 15. And team of the week and everything. So I actually pulled my finger and actually did some of the Excel, and now it's all in there properly. And I actually judged some games that I was behind on as well. So that's also good. So talking about games, first game, this was Aaron as our judge. We had the Warriors against the Titans. You was a sort of closet, or maybe not so closet, Titans fan. Must have been pretty happy about this one.
Yeah, I was really quite pleased with the way it turned out for the Titans. It was a strange result because I really thought the Warriors had better in that position one, but the Gold Coast boys held on, and yeah, it was a good result for them. And it's nice to see them finally get a win, get off the bottom.
The Warriors are really unimpressive this year. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think a lot of people maybe are a bit higher on them than maybe they actually are, or how good they are. But I mean, first win for the Titans, and they are by all accounts played really well, but yeah, I'm just a bit concerned about the Warriors. Have I lost you?
David?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I always look short when Adam Fanua Blake from and they
What's going
didn't
on?
seem to finish. I think it's to do with their halves combination. They're really missing their 5/8. So if they can get him back in that combination with Johnson, then they'll be a lot better. But without him there, and without that sort of combination that worked so well last year with Metcalf and Johnson in the middle, they just seem a little, they can't ice games, you know? There's a little, there's off the bench last year. And the goal, David Fifita, fantastic. Another brilliant game.
We're really struggling here. I don't know what's going on. Cool. Yeah, sorry guys, we're having a little bit of a recording issue, but we're going to keep going on with it. And we apologize if it doesn't sound great, but Richard's somehow in a blender. So next, let me make sure that I'm sharing the screen back to you. Basically, look, I think that's that one. Do we have a turning point of that? I think Aaron did put a turning point somewhere, so I'll have to see if I can find it. I'm not on the right thing.
27 RTS score.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah, the RTS.
He obviously you can knock on the finger never left the ball. I thought the knock on was uber pedantic, and then so that was probably my sense.
So that's something like four fifths of the so he said turning point, the Titans absolutely rock solid defensive sets on their line. I think the Warriors had something like four or five in a row late there, and continually turning them away was pivotal. So that's
Yeah,
also a good
line
one.
defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. So next game was the traditional Anzac Day game between the Dragons and the Roosters. Just to let everyone know that if you score, I think the number is 34. It's something in the early 30s, but if you have a margin of greater than that, which this game was, the team on the losing end doesn't get any points. So in the spirit of that, we're going to give all the Dragons players 3 points because it'll cap zero. But the 3-2-1 for the Roosters was Sam Walker, Nat Butcher, and Joey Manu. I couldn't wait around for Big T to do it, so I just did it myself. If he disagrees with it, I'll change it later on. But yeah, I wanted to get myself to a point where we were finished. This game started with a bang. They lost Moses Sully straight away, the Dragons. And it was a very high scoring event. So, like, 60 to 18, that's a 78 points in a game. But it just seemed like there was a lot of tries of kicks, a lot of the ball bouncing up for someone and being able to kind of pounce on it. As a Roosters fan, were you pretty happy winning 60 to 18, considering you said they thought they'd lose last week? Sorry, we lost the connection again. Richard. So, as a Roosters fan, what did you, considering you thought that they'd lose to the Dragons, what was your thoughts on winning 60 to 18?
Well, it was superb. It was just a wonderful day. I got up, 4:45, and went to the dawn service. And then when the game, by the time the game came around, it seemed like it was a long time into the day, but it was just fantastic. I'm always nervous, and that opening, that start by the Dragons with that try to Sua just sort of made me go, oh. And then from there, the Roosters score a couple of tries, and it was fairly even for a bit. And then all of a sudden, the Roosters kick on, and it was just like, just bang, 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 and right across the park. Excellent performances, led by Walker with his short kicking game, Manu with his runs. Teddy was backing up. Watson was excellent. Crichton was back to his best. Nat Butcher, fantastic. Just right across the park, everyone was having an excellent day, and they seemed to be playing for each other and really kind of playing as a cohesive unit, which is not something they've been doing really well this season. And yeah, they just seemed to be up for it, and things they did worked. So it was just an absolutely joyous day, really.
So, I mean, I suppose turning point, probably one of the tries from the kicks. Sam Walker did, got a few good kicks. Got a few kicks away. And I don't know when it was a game.
11 conversions from attempts
Yeah,
as well. That was pretty special.
yeah. When it's a game like that, look at. A lot of tries coming from kicks and like that, and but also winning 60 to 18. It a turning point, would happen quite early. The game basically just complete like you said, it was tight for a while, and then the Roosters just kicked on. And I mean,
Yeah.
I know the Dragons scored one late, but it was gone well and truly by then.
I
So.
don't think the Dragons ever adjusted properly to losing Sully and then having to play Eisenhuth out in the centres. And I think the Roosters just exploited the fact that there was someone slow, and it then they had fast guys against bigger, slower guys. And I just think that's what really was, the Dragons just couldn't get themselves organised after that, and they just didn't have the right bench rotation to deal with the fact that they had those issues. And the Roosters absolutely exploited them for it. Took them apart.
I don't know if this is my idea or I just heard this from someone else, but I really think that the NRL should look into, rather than just having, your four guys on the bench, I think you should have an extended bench of six, but you can only use four of them. And then in that situation, so Moses, you'd have like an extra half and an extra back on in your six. And then in that situation, Moses Sully gets knocked out. He's not coming back. I mean, not that they've got anyone else that's great, but at least someone who could play center. So they have to put a big slow guy out there. And I mean, I know it would have screwed their rotations up, but if in the first minute you lose a guy, you should be able to replace him and not like pretty much the game's gone because you have no one to put there. You know, it sort of seems counterintuitive to the competitiveness of a game. And we're going to have people hurt themselves. We're going to have people have, you know, injuries for the whole half or the whole game or whatever it is. You know, you need to be able to, you know, sort of be able to adapt the side. And look, at the moment, a lot of teams are playing three guys that they're using on their rotation, and then one guy may not even play. So they're kind of holding one back anyway. So it's sort of, it seems a bit strange. Like I think it would make it a better contest when we get injuries that you could possibly bring someone in. And then, you know, you've always got an 18th man anyway, but, you know, you have an 18 and a 19 and you don't need the 18th man anymore because you've got the extras or whatever. And you, it just makes more sense to be able to do that.
But it's something that they do in soccer. You have extended, you have, you know, like a 6 or 7, 8 man bench or whatever it is in the Premier League now. And they don't use that many players, but they adapt it for when they, for what's happening in the game, I suppose. So it's a slightly different rotation in that sport, but it's something that you could definitely, they can play around with and work it out to give advantages when players, especially in the age which we are now, where so many players go off for concussions or, you know, in the old days, you just throw them back out there after 10 minutes, but you can't do that anymore. And they really do need to think about something that will help teams that lose key players or players they can't replace early in the match.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is what would happen is there would be four forwards or maybe three forwards and a hooker, and you'd then have, you know, maybe a back and a half or something, or, you know, and that would mean, I mean, no team gets an advantage from that anyway. Like there's no one who's sitting at 18th and 19th man who's all of a sudden a superstar, and it's like, oh no, they're going to let this great player play. If they're going to be good enough, they're going to be in the side anyway. So the it's NRL really just does, emergency.
The NRL does worry and tie itself in knots over trying to stop teams from gaming the system. And you kind of understand it because all coaches ever do is try and game the system, right? That's where they spend their entire lives, coming up with different ways to game the system. So you can understand why the NRL have the approach that they do, but it just, it, they need to try and work out, well, okay, we've got to do this in a way that's going to be fair and can't be gamed very easily.
Yep. I look at just a little bit of soapbox, but I feel like that is definitely a solution that would work. Okay, we should move on. So next game, the judge was Jack, and we had the Storm against the Rabbitohs. We won't really need to give you the Rabbitohs points, but we'll do it anyway. For the Storm, it was Cameron Munster, Harry Grant, and Xavier Coates. For the Rabbitohs, Cameron Murray, Jacob Gaygai, and Isaiah Tass. Basically, for the Rabbitohs, it's Cameron Murray's the only one that seemed to put any effort in. But he's still not going to score any points, but, you know, I feel like I should give a pity point to Cameron Murray. But yeah, look, the Storm just completely dominated. I know the Rabbitohs don't do well down in Melbourne. They haven't done well against Melbourne traditionally, but they are just a rabble at the moment. They just don't know what they're doing.
Look, there was a moment there in when the Rabbitohs got their points, and they came in a rush, didn't they? And the Storm were up probably 30, so I think it was 34, 36, and the Rabbitohs then scored 20, and you're like, oh, hold on. I want to say in defence of Gray that I thought he was excellent. I thought he was by far their best player. Mm-hmm. I thought he was better than Murray, better than anyone else that was named. I thought Gray was absolutely their best player. And I thought Walker had a good game, although he made errors. Everything that he touched, anything that they did that was good, he had a hand in it somewhere. So, yeah, I thought that Walker and Gray deserved a mention. For the Storm, you had Hughes, Pappenhausen, Bloor, Munster, Grant, Liero, Katoa, Nass. I mean, you could have named points for 2/3 of their side.
Mm-hmm.
They were just fantastic. It was great. They were great across the park. And they, even when the Rabbitohs came back and you thought, the Storm just kicked away again. And they were just, I think they were playing within themselves for a bit. And then when the Rabbitohs came back a bit, they just kicked on again. Just went catch as if you can. And the Rabbitohs could not go with them.
But you guys said, I said last week, you know, the Storm seemed to play to their opposition. they got far enough in front and they kind of just sort of eased off a little bit and the
Yeah.
Barrier scored some points and they went, all right, we'll score some more points then.
Yeah.
But yeah, like look, we obviously we talked about, oh, we didn't talk, you guys talked about last week, you know, is someone going to break the 50? Well, two games in a row we got the 50 broken. And it was quite a day. You know, we got the had the upset earlier in the day, then all of a sudden it was like, you know, he's 60 points and someone else he's 54, or was 54 20, I think it was. But
54-20, yep.
yeah, and that's like, and both games like 60 to 18 and 54 20, you know, huge scores by both teams. Like it's not just not like one team didn't score at all. It just looked like it was a day to, you know, just to score tries. And yeah, it was, I don't
It
know,
was
just
party time.
it was just party time. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for that one. I couldn't think what it was. But yeah, I mean, you know, the game before it was like nice hot weather, nice sunny afternoon kind of thing, and you know, you're expecting it from that. But the storm one, you know, it's nighttime, it well, later in the day anyway, and it's a bit of dew and stuff. But they were just excellent. I just
Yeah.
there's no, I hate to say it, but the storm are now starting to look good again, and it's not fair because they were maybe not on the pace for about a year, and then they're back. So it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, Pappenhausen has come back, and that gives them a better balance, doesn't it? And it means that they're instead of playing Meany at the back, he's in the centres, and that gives them a better balanced back line outside of that. And it's just everything else just sort of seems to fall into place. And they got Liero and Katoa and Bloor, and you know, they're traditionally the Storm have always had these sort of guys that just come down there, do a job in the back row, and look much better than probably they would be if they were somewhere else. And again, they seem to have found three players that can do exactly that. And I did want to ask, are you sure this was Anzac round and not horrible jersey round? Because that stripy Storm jersey was awful. And whatever the Souths were wearing, that sailor's outfit was just, it looked like a Storm outfit. It looked like the Storm were playing the Storm reserves.
Yeah, well, look, there were some other ones in this round that weren't so great either. My wife was, well, the next game that comes up, we were watching the Parramatta game, and she said she looked at the Eels one and she's like, what is that? And I went, I don't know, I think they're supposed to be sailors or something. She goes, you never know what it is. Doesn't look like anything. It just
He
looks
had the thing on
stupid.
the back, the sailor thing, the same as Souths did.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, were they trying to be Popeye or something? I'm not sure what was going on.
Yeah, it was that whole squared off thing across the back with like the sailor uniform. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just, yeah, just terrible. And there were some other ones in this round that weren't great too. Look, sometimes they do great ones. Sometimes they're really good ones. We both saw the Raiders one, and we thought the Raiders one was quite good. You know, kind of that army green kind of washed out, sort of looked all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't have good ones, and it's the issue is now, and this is what I think the issue is that they need a new one every year, and then every year they do, obviously they've got to do something slightly different, and I feel like they're just running out of ideas now, so they just
Yes.
kind of they want to do something different they haven't done before. Which means that we get these weird color combinations or patterns that we haven't seen before, and they don't work. So,
No.
you know, and like, you know, the point is, well, can they just wear the same one every year? But that's not what they want to do it for. They want to sell another jersey. So
Yeah,
they're
the
not
jersey
gonna.
sounds absolutely. Like I like the Roosters. Well, I like the Roosters' idea of having the pale blue because of the wartime shortage in indigo dyes and all the rest of it, but
Yeah.
I didn't like the collars. That those fake collars on that jersey this year didn't look good. That aside, it was probably one of the better ones because it is a traditional design.
Yeah, see, it's the other one. The other round that we get is the Women in League round, and we get some not so great jerseys in that round too. So when that comes around, let's see what we end up with. But
Yeah.
I don't really want to. I don't really want to sort of bag out the Anzac jerseys too much because there is a lot. They do put thought into it. And they do something, but it just, I don't know. It
It's
just
just
feels
that
like,
particular game. Some of
yeah.
them I didn't mind, but that particular game, I didn't think either of them were particularly very nice. So,
No, and I mean, some clubs do some good ones sometimes. Like, I know there was a Manly one maybe last year or the year before, which was really good. I really liked it. I thought it
yep.
looked really good. The kind of sunset kind of one they did. But just, yeah, some of them are just like doing it for the sake of doing it now. And I
Yeah.
just sort of really worried. And look, like I said, the women in league one, women in league round one is pretty much just pick a purple or a pink and put it on your jersey. Because
Yeah.
that's what, obviously, women are only purple or pink because, you know, they can't have any other colors. So
It
I
kind of
don't know.
work. It kind of works for Penrith because of the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
But yeah,
But they wear that all the time now. Like they wear that quite often.
it's a favorite amongst their fans. That's why they do it.
But yeah, anyway, we should get off this game. Let's get to
Yeah.
the next one and let's get the pain out of the way. So
Yeah.
Kev did the judging for this one. So for Manly, you had Jake Torojevic, Daly Cherry Evans, Mr. Suplex, and Luke Brooks. And for the Eels, I don't agree with these, but that's fine. He had Ethan Sanders, Dylan Brown, and Clint Gutherson. Okay, I'm going to give a bit of a thought here. The second half of this game, or the last part of this game, felt like exactly the last part of the Dolphins game. It got out of control again. They got tired. They didn't compete in the last 15, 20 minutes, and the game got away from them. But I felt like they were in this game. And I actually felt like they should have won this game, Parramatta. They should have led much more by at half time. I think they were well and truly outplaying Manly. They were well. I mean, you look at the stats, and they had more possession. They had more yardage per set. They had more line breaks. They had more tackle breaks. You look at the stats, and you think they must have won this game. But it was just that one little period where they clocked off for a bit. Manly got a bit of a go, and then obviously the sin bins didn't help. And yeah, just it ends up being quite a convincing Manly victory at the end. But look, I just it's one that got away for them for Parramatta, and I really think they should have won that. So I don't know what you think.
I
Obviously.
thought that man I thought that Manly were the better team across the game, but the Parramatta weren't going away. And sometimes when that happens and a team just keeps putting in effort after effort like Parramatta were doing, that there is every opportunity that team will just come away with a win. And I would say about 60 minutes, I was thinking, well, Parramatta are still in this and they're a chance to nick this at the end. And the Seagulls, for all the good stuff they've done, haven't put the score on the board, and Parramatta are still sticking around, and there's some good stuff going on here. And then Mike Acivo happened. And
Yeah,
it's a
I feel like it was
66
already on its way out by the time that happened.
minute. But it went the 66 minutes, it was 20-18
Yeah.
after Acivo scored. And then after that, he got sin-binned, and then bang, bang, Manly score tries, and it's game over.
Yeah. I think if you go back earlier in the game, Parramatta were in front. So it's
Yeah.
I feel like it was I feel like they didn't score enough points in the first half. Because I mean halftime score it was 14-6, and I think Parramatta dominated that first half possession wise. Everything they did, they probably should have scored another two tries,
Yeah.
and that might have been enough. That might have put Manly to bed. But then, yeah, realistically, a second half where one team scores 26 points, the other one scores four. It turned
Yeah.
pretty quickly after halftime.
I was watching that game and I was looking and I was thinking, Parramatta have got a lot more energy. That they just must have been so sapped last week against the Dolphins up there in town. It must have been the weather thing up there in Darwin. Like, that they looked so slow last week. This week back in Sydney, they did look like they had loads more energy. So you could absolutely tell the difference.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a response. I think, the coach kind of called them out, and they respond. Look, like I said, I mean, maybe I'm a bit one-eyed, but I thought they were, I think over the first half, definitely the best side. And maybe even over the first 55 minutes they were. But it just when the opportunities came, they didn't take them. And when Manly had the opportunities, they took them. And then all of a sudden it was, the case of they got tired and they just gave up points in a quick period too. Like it was,
I thought Garrick was best on field for Manly. I actually thought he was the best player, and I thought Paseka and Olakau'atu were also very, very good.
That's true. Yeah.
Like,
Captain Suplex was also pretty good.
yeah,
But
I thought Hopgood was actually pretty good for Para.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
I liked him. I did like Sanders. I thought he looked. He seemed to.
Yeah, I don't think he deserved the three. I don't think he was Parramatta's best player, but
But he directed the attack better. He complements Brown a little bit better, I think.
yeah, I think he definitely does. I mean, you know what, I don't know if there was anyone who was that great for Parramatta anyway, but yeah, look, there were some really lazy efforts at some points. The one where Nathan Brown went to the line and passed the ball, and Sean Lane just basically watched as Jake Trbojevic just ran past him. That was pretty sad.
Did Sean Lane, he came back on after an HIA, didn't he?
I don't know if he went off for an HIA. I don't remember.
He
Might have.
did. No, I don't think he was actually right to come back on.
Yeah.
He made two mistakes, and I think he was I think there was a either delayed concussion or there was some effect that he was not playing his normal game and he made too many errors.
There was generally too many errors. Like there was a point in it would have been first, it was first half where I think Parramatta might have got it back from, I think they got it back from the kickoff, but it was like third tackle that they sort of spread the ball. They actually got up to like halfway, and then on like third tackle they threw it to Kelma Tuilagi, who was just come on the field. And he dropped the ball, and all of a sudden that's what was happening. They would kind of get to a good position and then they drop the ball. Or they'd make a silly error or something, do something stupid. And that was the whole first half. So that's what I'm saying. Like if in a set like that, if you're on the third tackle and you drop the ball in the halfway, you're up for a big set. That I felt like things like that, if they didn't do things like that, they might have got a bit of a roll. Because at some points in that first half, Manly were making like 15, 20 meters in the set. They were just getting crushed. And by the end of the game, Manly's forwards was running riot. So it just completely turned. It's just a strange game. Yeah, look, I don't know who I'd give three to. I wouldn't have given it to Sanders. I think he played all right, but I didn't. Like, early on, yes, definitely pretty good. I'd be tempted that Brown maybe would have got the three.
I would have probably thought I actually had Gutho named as a three, but
Yeah, Gutho was good too.
I wasn't scoring it like completely sensibly. Like I just thought there's a little bit of a gut feel on that one, but I thought
Yeah.
Hopgood was very good.
Yeah, I know Hopgood was definitely good, but yeah, just he feels like he's coming to the club and he feels like he's the only one putting any effort in, which is in the forwards, which is a real worry. So anyway, I don't want to talk about how bad Parramatta are all night. So let's move to the next one. This one is the one that you scored for me. So it's the West Tigers against the Broncos.
No, I had, yeah, I scored this game, but I didn't realize I was scoring it because Jay said to offered it up. I said I'd take it, but Jay said I couldn't do it because he had the storm next. I have
Yeah,
the
he
storm
couldn't
next
swap
week,
it,
and he
and
couldn't swap
then
me.
you're going to do one next week as well. So he's going to owe you're going to owe him one, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that's fine then. I will do that.
It doesn't matter.
So
It's
I scored it anyway because I would
gone out the
just
window.
that's
It's
what I did.
completely gone out the window with that. Because I don't want to show it to you now because it's boring for anyone trying to listen across the podcast. But basically, I went through the season and I tried to lay it out so that everyone got every team at least once and no more than three times, and like tried to. Try to give everyone every team at least twice as much as I could. But what happens is people are like, oh no, sorry, I can't do that because of this, whatever. It's like, yeah, that's cool. But now I've been trying to move them. Now I'm not going to even bother. I'm just going to be like, if you give up a game, you give it up. If there's one later in the season someone wants to give up, I'll say, Jay, you won't take this one. As long as it's not Melbourne, well, that'll be fine.
That's
But
fine. Okay, so
should be
that
fine.
works that out. I scored it anyway.
Yeah,
So
that's okay.
Walsh for me, best on ground. What an amazing player to watch. He just lights up the game. He lights up the field whenever he's on there, and he does things that you kind of, this is a mistake in him, but it never seems to faze him. He will make an error, and the next minute he'll do something amazing, and you're like, well, that didn't get in his head at all. He just blinks, and he's just an absolute superstar.
Maybe he's learned to slow his brain.
I think he must have been able to. He just plays at a different speed for everyone else. I don't know what it is, but he's unbelievable. Carrigan, I gave the two votes to, and I was torn. I wanted to give it to Reynolds because I think Reynolds had a hand in everything, and Reynolds was just excellent. But Reynolds had a couple of errors, but yeah, and he had that. Yeah, like. maybe I should have given Reynolds a two, but I gave it to Carrigan. They gave Reynolds a one.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
For the Tigers, Galvin, I gave the three. Then I struggled after that trying to work out. But I think Staines, I'll give the two to.
Yeah.
A lot. And Bolle, I gave the one.
Mm-hmm.
I could have given it to Appy, but because he was also very good. But yeah, I thought Bolle just deserved a bit of recognition.
Yeah. I mean, the turning point of this game was, well, like a lot of people said, it was when Appy dropped the ball off the line and maybe regrip, maybe didn't regrip. So
I don't think his finger, like when he was going, the ball came away from the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at it, to me, it didn't look like his one of, it looked like one of his fingers stayed in contact with the ball the whole time. Now, to me, that's not separation or loss of control.
Yeah.
The way that I would view it. And his hand was definitely on the ball as it went down. I understand that apparently there was an angle from a different camera where it showed that all his fingers were off the ball.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it's definitely a no try. But
yeah.
The way I was looking at it, I didn't see that there was complete separation. I thought a finger was on it all the whole time, and that they could have awarded it. But it was a big turning point for them.
It was huge. It was because they weren't, you know, they needed that try to kind of keep them in it, and then right after that, Brisbane goes down the other end, and you know, it's just.
But that wasn't the 25th minute. And so you kind of go, okay, it's a little bit early for an absolute turning point, but it ended up just being the Tigers couldn't come back from it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in terms of a turning point, it's not like if that happened the other way that the Tigers would have won, but definitely is a reason why they couldn't have won, if you know what I mean. Like it really did make a big difference. The Broncos are good.
The Broncos, stop, hold the press.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fair. The Storm are good. The Broncos are good. It's, you know, what? Can we just have a different team be good for a while? Like, you know, the Panthers are still good. You know, the Roosters are good again.
The Roosters play the Broncos this week, so they'll be
we'll
bad
see again. Who is good. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. Two teams that were pretty good was the Cowboys and the Panthers. Terry scored this one. Refused to score it until I scored last week's game, which I thought was quite funny. I asked him for it earlier and he goes, oh, but where's the Sharks Cowboys game from last week? And I went, here it is. And he went, okay, here's your answers. And I was like, okay, he's holding them hostage from me. Okay, so yeah, so for the Cowboys, Ruben Cotter with the three, Fini Fiuiaki with the two, and Drinkwater with the one, and for the Panthers, Edwards the three, To'o with the two, and Alamotti, the late change, came in for the one. I don't think Brian To'o is easy to tackle.
He had 21 tackle breaks.
Mm-hmm.
According to I think that was, I didn't do it and I was going to look and I started looking randomly at players. I think that on his own was more than all of everybody else combined.
Yeah, I can find that if you want.
He was unbelievable. I would have given To'o the three if it had been me scoring it. I would have given him every vote and I'd have given Alamotti the two and Yo the one. So interesting how difference of opinion is there, and it shows you how people complain about the Dally M's, or they complain about, you know, differences of opinion do matter. Some of them are stinkers, but some of them are just a difference of opinion. I thought Fini Fuiaki had his best game yet and was probably the best player on the field for either team. I thought he was really, really, he ran strong, he tackled hard, he was, well, probably To'o and then him, actually. I thought Fini Fuiaki was very strong for the Cowboys. Dearden was in what the Cowboys did was good. And Nanai had his best game of the year. So I thought I'd like to give him a mention. And what was different, I thought, about the two teams was the rotation of the Cowboys was slightly better than the rotation of the Panthers. And that's what that's what brought the Cowboys back in.
Yeah,
I thought Taumalolo, when he came on, was strong, and McIntyre played a very good game. And McIntyre's ex-Titans, and he can have a stinker, but this week was not one of them. He played very, very strong football. He was very good.
Ex-West Tiger as well, didn't he? He started with them, I'm pretty sure, McIntyre.
Mm.
Pretty sure he's West
well
Tiger.
have done. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when he left, and they were all like, "Oh no, he's such a good player." And he didn't do much at the Titans. He was pretty stinky at the Titans. But yeah, no, I think he's doing a pretty good job at the Cowboys. So yeah.
Yeah, he has his moments, but he this week was a very strong week for him. So they were a little bit unlucky, the Cowboys, not to come back at the end.
Yeah. Look, I just think this is the kind of game that you expect Penrith to win. Just tight game. You know, they're maybe not playing. They're playing well, but they're not playing to, you know, they're playing a tough opposition, and they just kind of grind it out. And you know, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys at home after last week, you know, they didn't look so good, but you know, this week they really aimed up, and you know, they'd be a bit disappointed they didn't get the win. But yeah, it's very tough to beat Penrith anywhere.
Absolutely.
So.
People have been saying about the Cowboys that they're lacking in the middle, and their bench doesn't do anything. It's weak and blah 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 blah. But I'll tell you what, with Taumalolo McIntyre and that new young lad McAlee, Christ, he was massive. He came and he just terrified everybody. Big, can stand, can offload, and he looks like he's just swatting people away. Looks like there's no effort to what he's doing. He is going to be a good one.
And they got rid of the jet ski as well, so that's obviously positive for them.
Who's turned up in Brisbane?
Yeah, I know. I think he wanted to go back to Brisbane, and I think Brisbane are like, "All right, we'll take you." I don't believe they'll be putting him in the team. Like, I'm assuming he'll play Queensland Cup. I don't think he's going to be playing for the Broncos, but I don't know. I didn't see the team list yet. I haven't looked at the Broncos yet. Let's see if he gets named. But
Maybe the South Queensland Crushers can come back and sign him.
oh, I don't love the Crushers. Okay, I mean, I don't know if there's a turning point because the game is so close at the end, but maybe it's just the Penrith, you know, defense late on to sort of not let them score and get back. But yeah, all right. All right. So when we started this season, I don't think I ever see a game. I don't think I even knew who Trey Fuller and David Armstrong were, but I didn't think that they'd both be playing fullback against each other, and they'd both be scoring 3 points in the Hyper Rams. So, Mundelism did our one for the Dolphins against the Knights, and Trey Fuller 3, Jeremy Marshall King got the 2, and Osaka got the 1, and David Armstrong got the 3, Tyson Gamble the 2, and Dane Gagai got the 1. Yeah, David Armstrong can play footy.
He can certainly play football. He was very, very good. And Trey Fuller is just a revelation. 27 years old, and yeah, we do like a late de a debutant. But yeah, Armstrong was fantastic. He's is he Central Coast, from the Central Coast, I believe.
Was it Central Coast? I know he was from somewhere around there. Yeah,
Yeah,
I think so.
born Central Coast, and yeah, he'd come up for that Newcastle system, and he was just fantastic. He didn't seem to be overawed by anything, and it was a great debut. And didn't he score early in front of all his friends and family in the corner there? That was just what great scenes. You got to love that. He just looked at home, and everyone was writing the Knights off without Ponga and saying, "Oh, look, you know, without him, there's no chance." But if you have your best player and your link play or your link player go out of a team aside halfway through a game or play lame through a game, you're going to struggle. But you put someone fit and healthy and running and charging about, and you're a chance again. So I don't think the Knights are, you know, I don't think it's curtains for their season. I think they can certainly get some wins and trouble some teams. But yeah, not many gave them a chance this week, and it was good to see them get up and about.
It was good. I mean, unfortunately, I tipped the Dolphins, but yeah, look, it was good to see the Knights do it. The Dolphins are a strange one, and I feel like maybe it depends on whether their opposition plays well. I feel like they play at a good consistent all the time. Like they'll play to their level, and I just think it depends on whether their opposition is good or not. Because you know they played the Broncos and they struggled. I mean, they still got fairly close, but they struggled. They play the Eels, who were terrible, and they put, you know, 40 on them. You know, they play the Knights, and you know, it was a tight con. It wasn't blown away a tight con. It was a tight contest, but the Knights were just just that bit level above where they where the Dolphins were. And just yeah, I just don't think the Dolphins have got, they haven't really got another gear to go into. They just kind of are
Yeah,
there.
look, that game, that Dolphins last week against the Eels absolutely dominated the game, couldn't score, and then got absolutely exhausted and had the wrong makeup of team for the conditions that they were playing in. They had a big built team in very, very heavy conditions. And, you know, the lighter team won because they just had the energy to go around them and go through them. And that, but that game up there in Newcastle, it wasn't a lopsided kind of game where atmosphere and weather conditions and heat and all the rest of it and
Well, they
exhaust.
did play in South Queensland. It wasn't Newcastle. It was they played the Dolphins were at home, so it was a Sunday.
Yeah, but it wasn't, there's not a massive difference between, there's a much bigger difference between Darwin and Sydney than there is between Newcastle and Brisbane.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And it's that, it was a closer, you know, a closer game in that respect. So, and I don't think the teams were, you know, there wasn't one that was a really light small team and one that was a big heavy team playing in different weather conditions. They were kind of quite balanced and they, you know, so I think the Dolphins still need to get a few players back. I think they're still missing a few. And yeah, it didn't quite work for them this week. And Jacob Saifidi had a really strong game in the middle. And so the Knights' middle held up a little bit more and they didn't let the Dolphins just run through them like what happened last week to Power. So yeah, I think I mean, I thought there were times there where the Dolphins were going to win it. But the Knights hung on and good on.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, so the last game. So you'll notice that I've scored two in this round because this was actually my game. The Raiders against the Sharks. So it didn't matter who I gave points to the Raiders to, but I think Tuimoko was probably the only player that deserved any points at all. I would have probably, if I did 3-2-1, probably given it to him, given Tarpany two and Smithies one. For the Sharks, you can't give anyone else but Nicho Hynes for three is wrong. I had a different 2-1, but I changed it. So I looked over it again and I realized that I maybe sort of neglected Jesse Ramian. So I went three for Hynes, two for Ramian, and one for Nikora, or Nikora. I had Braden Hemling early. And then when I looked back, I realized he only played 17 minutes, but it felt like he impacted the game a lot in the 17 minutes he played. So just honorable mention to him. I had him as points and I just went, no, for 17 minutes, you can't score points.
Yeah, I the Cameron McInnes
Yeah, he was also very good.
got things. He's been good every week. He's
Yeah.
been just he just toils away, and it was nice to see him get a try early. Which and look that Sharks back line is phenomenal. And I talked about this last week. They just have a balance about the side, which is fantastic. Now I thought that losing their 5/8 would really just upset them. But it didn't seem to. But I think a lot of that is on the Raiders, and there was some real lack of effort at different points in that game. And I think that they need to, I'm not sure if they quite what was happening, whether it was just you know, they're trying to get used to life without Fogarty, but there was players in that team who, like, it wasn't the new lads, it wasn't their fullback, it wasn't the people that came into the team that you can blame, it wasn't the kids. They tried. There was effort from those guys. It was the rest of the team, and they need to have a look at themselves because there's a lot of talent in that team and they're a very good side and they can do things, but they just, yeah, they just decided to not put it in and that's not good enough. And
Yeah,
yeah.
they were so poor. It was so hard to watch. I mean, it wasn't hard to watch if you're a Cronulla fan, and I would say that I prefer Cronulla than Canberra, but like it wasn't a good game to watch. It was
Yeah. 18
over.
half time that you can still come back from that, but just turn your toes up and not make an effort.
They were very, very poor. And I mean, like I said, Nicho Hynes was just in everything. He didn't quite get the highest fantasy score of all time, but he got pretty close to it. He got 124 or something, which is huge. What was it? He unfortunately missed a goal. He had so much in a row, but he missed one, the very last one. But he would have got what, 6 goals, because they scored 7 tries and six goals, and scored a couple of tries himself, and just he was just everything, and he set up tries. He was just such a good performance. And I think the difference is that, not that I'm going to pick on the young guys in the Canberra Haas, but you've got, Ethan Strange played, he's only played a few games, start of his career. You got Kaye Weeks, he hasn't played many games either, not really played as a halfback very often. And on the other side, Daniel Atkinson, not a lot of experience either, but his partner is Nico Hines, who's, he's a rep quality halfback. So, there was one shining light out there in the halves for both sides, on both sides of the field, and he was just really good. And then, a guy, I thought Will Kennedy had a pretty good game as well. Like I said, Cam McInnes was really good. They were just all good. All the outside backs of, I mean, that Kyle Eero had another great, good game again. I couldn't give him points again because he wasn't quite as good as he was last time, but he was great as well. I mean, even Talakai, in that sort of bench role he's doing now, he's really adding something to him. Cronulla are a really good side. I just think that Cronulla are a good side that are playing a lot of not good sides, so they're not getting a lot of respect.
What were your thoughts on Atkinson on his debut?
Yeah, I think he was steady. I don't think he did anything wrong, but I don't think he did anything that great. But yeah, I think he's just exactly the right player they need. They're just someone who will just do what he needs to do. It was all about Nico for them. It wasn't so much about Atkinson. I don't think he didn't do anything wrong, but I don't think he did anything that fantastic.
Brayley seems to, if Brayley gets going and he can work his magic at a dummy half, they can still be something. But yeah, I don't know how. Do you know how many weeks that?
No, I'm not sure. I don't know. Have they even given a timeout yet? I'm not sure if they've done it. I don't know if they've just delayed it.
No, I don't think they've given anything because he's not listed as suspended or like anything.
Yeah, I think it's just stood down until further notice. So we'll see what happens. But look, I think even with Trindle, I don't know if the Sharks were really a premiership threat. They might still be. We're still very early in the season, so you never know.
If he gets 3 or 4 weeks, then and they can sort of muddle through, especially through Origin period. And if he comes back after Origin in that run into the finals, then absolutely. If his suspension is right up until the finals or the rest of the season, then no.
Yeah, fair enough.
With Raiders, Whitehead, Horsburgh, Rapana all getting close to coming back, and that'll be a big shot in the arm for them. But like they're just gonna miss Fogarty, and there's no escaping that. They need to work something out. I think that Levi had a poor game. And I believe, I wonder if Wolford's going to come in. I don't know if he will, if Ricky's just going to be stubborn, but I hope that I haven't looked at the sides yet. So let's maybe, hopefully.
Well, look, I've got a proposition for Ricky. Help a former club of his out. If he can send us one of his good outside backs, we'll send him Ethan Sanders. They can have him now. And
Absolutely.
if they can send us a decent hooker, we'll have Wolford, and they can have Joey Lusick, and we'll all be happy.
I've just looked. Danny Levi's been named again this week.
Of course he has. They're not gonna not name him. Okay, I'm not gonna bore with the team of the week because that kind of doesn't tell you much, but I might just do a run through of the team of the year, and I'll do a run through of the top 15 in the Hyper M's as well. So at the moment, fullback is Dylan Edwards. The two wingers are Xavier Coates and Ronaldo Mulitalo. Tumeko and Targo are in the centers. This just shows that none of the 5'8s are stepping up, because Luke Metcalf is still, even though he's been out, he's still in the 5'8 position. Nico Hines is at halfback. You've got Adam Fanua Blake and Tarpany in the front row with Coruscant. And then you've got Olakau'atu and Kikau with Carrigan at lock and the bench player Nathan Brown. So I think that's a pretty good judge of how everyone's been going this year. That's probably the best players in each position, I'd say, or pretty close to it.
Absolutely. Now, the Reece Walsh up to 11th out of the top 15, I noticed.
Yep, definitely. So he's getting up there, but the Dylan Edwards is in second, so that does make it a bit harder. So, yeah, so basically 15 back to one. We've got Dally Cherry Evans in 15th. Then we've got Luke Keary, Tungo, Kikau, Reece Walsh in 11th, Timoko, Gutherson's in 9th, but I just learnt today that he has had surgery and he's out for 4 or 5 weeks, so that's going to be, he's going to probably drop out at 15 soon. Tedesco is in 8th, Fanua Blake in 7th, and then it's Isaiah Katoa, Api Korosau, Nico Hines, Olkawatu, Edwards, and Patrick Carrigan. So Paddy Carrigan is our best player, and he's kind of streaking ahead. He's about 5 points ahead of everyone else. He's on 21.
What's that? 21 to 16, then 15, 15, 14, 13. You can see what a gap that is.
Yeah, and he keeps scoring points. He got another two from you this round. He got three last round. But he's been their best player. Like he's
really has picked that team up and carried them, hasn't he? Especially with Haas. I mean, with Haas coming back, you might find his points start to drop a little bit and maybe Walsh will come through. That could absolutely happen with the, you know, with the Broncos getting some of their big names back in the forwards. So, we'll see. Be interesting to see what happens there.
Yep, definitely. So how about we jump across to the teams and the games next week?
Absolutely.
Okay, so first up on Thursday, the last place Rabbitohs against the third place Panthers, I think they are. Interesting. I think there's been a couple of changes with the Rabbitohs. What have we got? So Tane Milne's out with that two-match suspension. We didn't talk about that tackle, but that was just abhorrent, that tackle that he did. So
just dumb. And the game was over, and what were you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Isaac Thompson comes in.
Not the first time he's done it when the game's been over either.
No, I mean, we saw things when they were... Wasn't it the... Was it the prelim game? One of the games when they played Penrith a year ago, in the finals a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And he did something dumb as on that game as well.
And that was after the whistle. I thought, or at the very, very death.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You
know?
And you've been beaten all game.
Yep.
And you didn't want to do anything. But once the game's over, you want to stand there and smack people? What's going on?
Yep. No, I don't know. I don't know what goes on with some of these guys. But Tane Milne is like, there's a reasonable footballer in there, but he just does too many stupid things. And he makes mistakes too. He's not that good.
You can't get by on physical ability alone. There has to be an ability between the ears. And if you don't have it, you don't have it.
Yeah, definitely. So Milne's out means that Isaac Thompson's back on the wing. We've got Tom Burgess back on the bench and David Mowali starting at prop. Cole Matangi actually started at prop last week as well, so it looks like he might do that as well. And Cheekam in the second row. So they've actually named Cole Matangi in the front row. I'm not sure what that move is, putting Cole Matangi. I mean, I know they may be a bit light at the front row, not supposed to light the front row, but they don't really have... I haven't got anyone good to play in the front row. I think it's maybe the answer to that one.
I think Tom Burgess gives them better service off the bench. And I think they've tried Burgess in the front row and it hasn't worked as a starter.
Yeah.
I think he's better coming off the bench. And I think that's probably the best that they can hope for at the moment with their... with their injuries and suspensions.
They've got Sean Kepi on the reserves, but I don't know. Every time they've started Sean Kepi, he's not done well. So I think they're just kind of going like, maybe that's not worth
it. With Tupola's out to around 18, so with him missing, and they just seem to be light, don't they?
They do. I wonder whether they... I know he's not the right kind of... Maybe not quite the right guy, but I wondered whether they might try like a Havili or something, put Cameron Murray in the front row. I don't know what they would do, but just seems a bit of a waste to put Cole Matangi in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, they tried Kepi and he just has brain explosions.
Yeah. I don't know. But look, I don't think there's much... I don't think they've got much chance against the Panthers. Maybe the Panthers have an off game, but realistically, the Panthers are pretty much the same team that runs it every week and they're just great. They do have a couple of guys out who's out. So Sonny Taruva returns to the back line. after being given a week off. So I wonder whether Tarifa got a week off because he signed somewhere else. Was that like a?
It was a strange one, and it's no place for Paul Alamotti. And Paul Alamotti was probably one of the better players last week.
Yep. Well, I mean, it just proves that they, you know, they won't be next year. Should be pretty good. I was very surprised when the Bulldogs didn't want Alamotti anymore. I thought he was quite good. And yeah. I was also very upset with my club that we didn't try to sign him because we could use him. We really, really could.
Him and Connor Tracy were the mysteries of the year. Why you didn't sign either of those guys?
I don't know what happened there because either one of them would be playing first grade now and be better than Morgan Harper.
So, well, you went for Morgan Harper, and if there's a choice of three,
yeah,
that's not the one to pick.
That's definitely. I mean, unless we got him free, unless he paid us to play. I mean, that's the only reason why I can think that happened.
Yeah.
Moses Liotta's back, but Scott Sorensen's not back yet. Look, I don't see anything but Panthers winning this pretty convincingly.
No, I would have picked Panthers. And look, I wanted to pick Panthers this week, and then I realised I couldn't because last week I picked the Storm.
Yep.
And the only other game I would have picked in would have been the Storm. And so I realised I screwed myself by picking the team that could have helped me, but I picked against the team that I could have picked, was planning on picking against the week after. So I've shot myself completely in the foot in the 52%.
This is the 52%. If you're playing it properly, unlike me, well, actually I've got the same issue, but I've got to try and find teams that are going to lose.
Yeah.
The 52% is, it's a long game. You've got to try and figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
I actually might take the Rabbitohs this week because I reckon that might, although they're trash, so maybe I don't need to take them yet. I need some home teams.
That's a good home team to take for you. It's especially difficult because you can't pick the same team twice in the first 12 weeks.
Yes.
So that means you have to pick literally the whole comp before you can make a second pick.
Yeah.
And if you picked the Panthers at home, you can't pick them at home again. You've got to go away the next time. And so it's more difficult than your traditional competition. It is a very complicated one to try and work your head around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't have to go through winless to win it. You can, because you know people are going to fall over because it is so complicated.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next one is the Seagulls against the Raiders at Four Pines, so Waterland, whatever the hell they want to call themselves. The Seagulls, I just saw that Derek Cherry Evans got off with a fine. So obviously wrestling and throwing people on their head is okay. That's one thing I didn't talk about in that game, is I actually think that the guy who should be sent to the sin bin should have been DCE. Shouldn't have been Homa'okawatu. Because DC is the one who did all the damage. He's the one who actually lifted him. Just because he didn't finish the tackle didn't mean he didn't do it. But yeah,
Bullimore is missing, so he's been suspended.
I'm assuming. So Bullimore is starting. So Bullimore comes in the starting back row. Because he accepted a 2-match suspension. Sipley returns from knee injury onto the bench. So if anything, they've got stronger. They look really good side. Nathan Brown coming off that bench is really good for them. And I know Mario's really happy about it. So, you know, I would be too if I get a player could do that. But interesting for the Raiders, they've made a bit of a change. They've got Albert Hopewadi playing at fullback. Nick Kotrick's back on the wing. They've kept the halves how they are. Like you said, Whitehead's back in. And they've got Emre Guler back as well. So Sasagi's dropped out. They still haven't put Wolford in there. They've dropped Schiller. And obviously Chevy Stewart's out as well. Is Chevy Stewart out for an injury, or is he just out because they've dropped him?
I think he's out because he's dropped.
They've just dropped him.
He's not injured. He's not suspended.
That's pretty tough. I don't think that Schiller or Chevy Stewart were the reason they lost. I mean, you got to find a way to get Albert Hopewadi into the team. So maybe it's a good idea putting
him. I thought Albert Hopewadi would come back on the wing. But Kotrick is, you know, he's been there before. He's done it. So they'll be a bit stronger around the middle with Whitehead in there, whether he's but I would have put Zach Wolford would have been for me.
Yeah, look, I think there's There's a few clubs that keep starting hookers that we're not really in favor of, and that's definitely one of them. Yeah,
If
all
I was
right.
Parramatta, I would be throwing some stuff Zach Wolford's way and just saying, look, get yourself out of there.
Yeah, but look, I don't think, I think the coach at Parramatta thinks that Joey Lussick's a great player. I think he thinks he's good. That's the problem.
Is there another player called Lussick who I don't know of that is actually a good player and the coaches just got confused with him?
Could be. Freddie Lussick's pretty good. Maybe he thinks he's got Freddie Lussick. He's just watching Warriors games and going, why is my team wearing red, green, and blue? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I just wondered if there was even another Lussick who I hadn't
Oh,
heard
there
of.
probably is. There's enough Lussick. There's Darcy, but he's not playing hooker.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get Freddie Lussick into the team, into the Eels, we've had all three. So,
Yeah.
all right, cool. Let's move on to the
Hardly the
games.
Mortimers, is it?
What's that?
Hardly the Mortimers.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, we've had enough of. We had a few of them as well. We had one of them as well, and he wasn't that great. You guys had him too, but
Yeah.
yeah. Broncos against the Roosters. Oh, I mean, look, I going back to the other game, I think Seagulls will win by plenty. Although I think the Raiders will respond, but I think the Seagulls will be too strong for them. So,
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing who the seeing the return of Soft Tipley, as Fox call him. Yeah, like Toff Tipley, I'd like to see him coming back, so that'd be nice.
good
Soft
old
Tipley.
Soft Tipley. Okay, so Broncos against the Roosters. Looks like they're pretty much full strength. Walsh, Arthur, Staggs, Cobbo, Mariner, Mam and Reynolds. Payne Haas has been named. Corey Jensen keeps his spot in the front row. Pierre Cora and Ricky, and then our man Patrick Carrigan. It's a good side. The Roosters, Daniel Tupou's back. I think that's about it. I think that's pretty much the only change. I do like Connor Watts at 13. I think that's a really good move for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's pretty much the strongest side that the Roosters can name as well. Don't have many changes. Notice that Tupanua is in the reserves. And Victor Radley's also in the reserves. So I don't know, there might be a late change for one of them. But yeah, look, it's gonna be an interesting game.
It's a
I mean,
hard one to, I mean, it's a difficult one, but if you had to drop someone, who would you be dropping to put back in Tupanua or Radley?
I
Because
don't
Watts has
know
been playing
if I
so well.
would. I don't know if I would. I think Nat Butcher and Angus Crichton are your best. I think they're both better than Tupanua. I mean, I possibly would
Egan Butcher,
Egan
maybe.
Butcher maybe and put
Yeah, for Victor
drop Connor
Radley.
Watts into the bench and put Victor Radley in the at 13, and then you got Connor Watson who can play halves and also play,
I
plays
actually
him into the
think
middle.
13 is Connor Watson's best position. And I'd like to see Radley play more of a wide run, not the link player or the run, because Watson runs well from dummy half and he combines well with Brandon Smith and he can pass and run and link. So I think that I would play Radley more as an impact kind of running type player, because that's when he's at his strength. I think Radley's best when he just runs hard and tucks up his arm, and he can create some mayhem, and he's got that ability to pass and do other things as well when he needs to. So I would be putting Radley in at 16 in place of Butcher, and I'd keep White and May there because those two coming off the bench are phenomenal. But having said all of that, I think you're moving chairs in a deck chair. I think you're moving deck chairs in the Titanic against this Broncos team. I think the Broncos are going to win it and win it easily. And the Broncos at home have got the wood on the Roosters and have had for many, many years. I've seen the Roosters up in Bron. I've never seen the Roosters win up in Brisbane. I've seen them up there quite a number of times.
Yeah, look, I think the only thing that could happen is Tedesco falls over and Reece Walsh cleans him up and gets sent off, and that might do it. So I think Tedesco will be trying to fall over as much as possible, because he does like to do that. I mean, seriously, Tedesco looks like he's ice skating when everyone else is running in football. So I don't, and he doesn't look like he's doing it well. So
My
it's.
mother-in-law was over the other day, and she said, "What do you think of Teddy?" I said, "I think he falls over too much." She said, "I think you're right." So
Yes, he does.
my mother-in-law doesn't. She's not a football fan. She says, "What's wrong with Teddy that every time he runs, he falls over?"
He does. And the problem is that He also runs himself a lot and falls over. So it's kind of like, I know he's elusive and stuff like that, but I kind of, you watch as a rival fan, you're watching when he's playing against you, and he was like, just tackle low, because he's, if you try and tackle high, he'll just fall over and you'll get a penalty against you.
Yeah.
And if you kind of, he'll throw a dummy. He always throws dummies. He likes to run himself. So, you know, if you just
Maybe he's
kind of
got
go for a good,
marbles instead of studs in his boots.
yeah, if you just go for hips tackle for him, you'll probably get him around the shoulders and you'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, I don't think you guys are at no chance. I still think the Broncos probably win it, but I don't know. I think the Roosters are just quietly doing well in the background, and that's probably what they want to do.
In Sydney, I would say absolutely the Roosters are a chance. In Brisbane, I would say that they're not. And yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, we'll move on next one. Bulldogs against the West Tigers. Bulldogs still have old man Drew Hutchison in the halves. And it's going to catch up with them eventually. I don't know if it's going to be this week. But look, they have looked good. The Bulldogs have looked very good. It doesn't mean they're going to continue to look good, because I still think they're just a certain team is gonna trouble them. I don't know if it'll be the West Tigers, but I would give the West Tigers a bit more chance than anyone probably does. I think that I might actually tip them in my actual proper tipping where I'm trying to win. I might actually go for them. I know the Bulldogs are really good and that left edge is very dangerous. But I just think that the Tigers could kind of, especially if it's, yeah, it's a 3 p.m. game on a Saturday. I don't know. I've got this feeling about the Tigers this week.
I have to pick the Tigers at some point in 52%. So I have to do it at some point. And I almost, I'm, there's a part of me that wants to do it this week. Because I just, there's, I don't know, just have a little feeling in the back of my head that maybe it's not all terrible for the Tigers and that they can do something. And yeah, I think that they have shown stuff in patches. They didn't completely curl up their toes against the Broncos. Yeah, I know the Broncos won the game and they only scored late, but there was moments in that game when the Tigers looked okay. And yeah, I know the Bulldogs team sort of seemed to be better balanced with Sherry and Crichton in the centres, and Adakar seems to be back, and Kikau is devastating, and Kurt Mann seems to have found a home again. But Hughes is good off the bench as well. Look, but everyone has an off day, and the Tigers could lift. So I think it might be close. I'm probably gonna back away from that one and stick with the Bulldogs to win it. But yeah, I don't think this is a foregone conclusion by any sense.
Oh no, definitely. Look, I'm only giving them a chance because I think that the West Tigers are the type of team that will hang around. They'll tough out as much as they can. And I think that the Bulldogs, you know, like if something goes the West Tigers way, they will throw the ball around. The Bulldogs will probably try and do it as well. And it, you know, it might just be a team who makes the least mistakes might win it. So, you
Well,
know.
you never know. Reed Marnie might, just take it one step too far and actually get himself sent off like he actually deserves to for one of these days. And then the Bulldogs could absolutely collapse, and the Tigers could take advantage, and Lappy Carousel can steer them home to a famous win.
Yeah, perhaps.
Put your money on it.
Well, all right, let's move on to one that might be, yeah, we'll see. The Titans against the Storm, but it's up in the Gold Coast, Saturday at 5:30. Yeah, like we said, the Titans did well last week, but let's see if they can do the same thing. You got Joe Stimpson starting at prop, which is an interesting move. Fifita was named to start, but look, he might switch back to the bench again like he has been. You got Aaron Shoup drops out. Philip Sammy is back, and you got Harley Smith-Shields. And then but Mo Fotuweka's out with a concussion, so that's why Stimpson's in. For the Storm, Tyrone Wishart's versatility is on full display once again. It was his name to start the wing. So there's no Xavier Coates. So we've got Tyrone Wishart playing wing, which is interesting.
Isn't that where his dad played?
Yes, exactly where his dad played, but he played in the Scarlet jersey. Christian Walsh actually getting named to start, even though for the last 3 weeks he's been named on the bench and started anyway. They look okay. I think they're a pretty good side, this Storm side. I worry about the Titans, but you know, maybe again, with their home crowd, they might lift again. They have troubled the Storm, and I think not maybe not recently, but certain points they've troubled them. So you know, they might have a chance, but I ideally think the Storm are going to win this pretty easily.
I have just seen that Des is doing his usual Des stuff, and he's like when the Titans have been really good, it's been Brian Kelly getting out down that channel, and getting Lofi Cam Pereira away, who's fast as all hell. But he's taken Cam Pereira off, and he's put Sammy on in his place instead of I would have taken Fifita out and put left Lofi in there and put Sammy on the other side. But the Titans have got good players. You look, David Fifita starting, which is a very good move. Jamin Jolliffe's okay. Isaac Liu is just forever young, keeps going there. Josiah Pahulu off the bench has been fantastic. He just lights things up when he comes on. Cleese Haas is a good bench player. He's been starting for them recently, but he's actually, I think he's better coming off the bench. And all that said, Storm by 40.
Yeah, definitely. I could,
That Storm team are just good. They're just
but
clean.
the Titans can sometimes win things when they're not supposed to up there, especially against the Storm. So we'll see. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the Storm 13 plus, if you're going to please do some betting, is probably the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Not that I would, but you know,
I don't
that's
bet because whenever I put money on anything, I lose.
yeah.
So,
I don't gamble either, but I'm just saying, if it in the parlance of rugby league, that's what you would say. Like
yeah,
they
13 plus.
ideally should win by 20 or 20 or more. So we'll see what happens. Okay, so next one we've got the Cowboys against the Dolphins. So Cowboys, I think Viliamivalia is in, from what I can tell. Hiliam Lukey is named to play for the first time, being injured. So they've finally dropped Jake Dranville back to the reserves. Viliamivalia make his club debut in the centres, replacing Tom Chester. He's out from hamstring injury. Felice Kaufusi and Connolly Lemuelu, sorry, they're named to return. Jesse Bromwich is going to play as well. Kenny is out because of failing HIA, and Oren Keeley, it comes out at 17. So, yeah, look, a few little changes around for the Dolphins. It's good having Felice Kaufusi back for them. He's actually been less of a thug when he's played for the Dolphins, so that's good for him. Yeah, but I don't hate that Dolphins side. I just think that maybe the Cowboys might be a bit too much for them.
There seems to be two Cowboys teams, and I think that one of them is actual human beings and the other one is facsimiles of the same people. Now, the one that are human beings play in Queensland, and the facsimile version, which is a very poor version, plays in New South Wales. So I don't think they're the same people or the same team or the same lineup for the Cowboys when they play home and away. They just can't be because they are completely different people. That Cowboys team is very good at home, and as soon as they get down to Sydney, they are just not good at all. And I don't understand quite why an entire team refuses to play when they're not at home, but that Cowboys team seems to be like that. They
Yeah.
look better balanced, that Cowboys team, than they've been in a while. The bench looks stronger than it's been all season. They are, I think that they're a But then the Dolphins are getting back somewhat to their closer to their full strength. And this is going to be an absolutely intriguing game and one that you definitely do not want to miss. This is absolute must-see TV. If you can't get to the game, watch this one 100% on television. This will be fantastic. I'm going to tip the Cowboys, but I would not be surprised if the Dolphins get the job done because that is a very good Dolphin side.
Yeah, it depends on how they, like, guys at Felice Kaufusi and Lemuelu come back, whether they're really fully fit, whether they're going to add something or not. But look, I still have that same opinion of the Dolphins that they've got a level, they play to that level pretty much all the time. Wayne gets them to that level, but they don't really have much beyond that. So it depends on what the Cowboys bring. The Cowboys.
You got Fuller, Isaaco, Averillo at the back, and Tessie New has actually been playing quite well at times. He does make mistakes, but he causes teams problems. And Jeremy Marshall King, with Felice Kaufusi back in the back row, and Aitken and Plath has been the revelation. And then you've got, yeah, Lemuelu and Stone, Donoghue, and Josh Kerr was fantastic last week. He didn't get any raps and he should have done. So look, I think that there's the Dolphins are getting better, getting back to being better, but I just think the Cowboys at home, I'll give them the advantage.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, next one is the Sunday 2 o'clock game. It's the Knights against the Warriors. Let's see what we expect from the Knights' second game without Kalen Ponga. See if David Armstrong can back it up. They are pretty much the same. So I think they're the same at 17. The Warriors, they got Kurt Capel back. Looks like they got Bunty Ufoa back on the bench. So a couple of those younger guys dropping out. Yeah, look at. I don't know what this game's going to be because it depends on which Warriors team plays. Depends on if I'm wrong about the Warriors, but I'm also have worries about the Knights as well. So I don't know. I feel like it's going to be between whether, someone like a Kaipis Paul has a outstanding game or whether Roger Tuivasa-Sheck does something really good. So it's going to be, I feel like there's going to be one effort from someone that's going to turn this game. I just don't know. I actually don't know what to tip here. I think you'd go the home side just because they're the home side,
Well,
but
look, the Knights are now missing Jed Cartwright, who was good last week, Tyson Frizzell, who's been strong all season when he's played, Tom Jenkins, Greg Marju, and Jacob Saifiti. All those players are missing, as well as Ponga. And you look at
Saifidi's there and Marzu's there.
they were both listed as injured. To be confirmed.
Oh,
So
really?
definitely,
Oh.
he said Jacob Saifiti could be in doubt after failing to finish that game due to a lower leg injury, which saw him require crutches post-match. So they've named him, but I'm not
Yeah.
sure he's going to play. And there's nothing there about Greg Marju, who's listed as to be confirmed. So
Okay,
it might
so.
just be a precautionary thing with him.
Well, that's interesting because they lose those two. I think, and Tom Jenkins is named in the extended reserve, so maybe he'd come in, but yeah, that's
But Tom Jenkins is also named as having a problem with his knee.
okay.
So
Interesting.
yeah, and yeah, so if Jacob Saifiti is actually out, then that makes a big difference to that team. And so it's all gonna rest on what happens with those Knights players who are we've got are under an injury cloud. And when you look at the Warriors, they've got a list that's as long. With Capewell and Niakura and Afoa and Harris Tevita, Tavanga, Lusick, Metcalf all missing, but most of them are coming back in the next couple of weeks. Well, next few weeks, shall we say. Look, it's going to depend on what happens with those players, but I think the Warriors are every chance here.
Do I? Yeah.
I like the Knights. I think that they're an honest team, and at home they're going to be difficult to beat. If Leo Thompson, if they can keep everybody on and their players are all fit, then they probably deserve favoritism because they play well at home and they're doing things in patches. But yeah, there's a lot about that Warriors team. I still believe. Maybe I'm fooling myself. Maybe I'm just. I must be mad, but I still think that there's something about that team. If they can just sort out what they do in the middle of the game when Fenua Blake and Barnett go off, if they can somehow work out their rotation,
They do have Bontefiore back now. He was out, so that might make a big difference. And Kurt, I know Kurt Cadwell's not in the middle, but still having a bit of experience there might kind of help out. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like the Warriors' problem is they haven't got enough players with double bang last names. So I feel like Tanner Stowers-Smith needs to come in. I feel like Rocco Berry should have another last name, and Marcelo Montoya, because the back five, it just looks strange with three of them with double banger names, and Rocco Berry and Marcelo Montoya are only single names. So
What about what do you reckon? Rocco Berry milkshake,
smoothie. Rocco Berry
berry
smoothie.
smoothie, Rocky Berry smoothie.
And
Yeah,
then I feel like
absolutely.
it should be Marcelo Indigo Montoya.
Yeah,
So that sort of makes perfect sense. I think they should both go change their names right now.
yeah.
And that would just, I think that would put them over the line. That might win the grand final if they do that. So, you know, Warriors fans, just get out there, petition, just make sure that they do that. I'm sure they can find some more double banger names somewhere in the lower grades there for them too.
Well, I think Jackson Ford should change his name to Jackson Ford Holden.
Jackson Ford Focus.
Absolutely.
Look, I think you could probably go through this Warriors see it side and just find anyone who hasn't got a double banged name and just give them one, because there's some good ones. Yeah, all right, cool. I'm not going to keep going with the comedy here, because it's going to wear very thin very quickly. So let's get to the Sunday game. The Sharks against the Dragons. We saw the Sharks completely demolish someone last week, and we thought sure the Dragons pretty much get demolished last week, but you know, when these two teams play each other, sometimes the weird things can happen. But I'm not saying it. I just think that the Sharks are just going to run all at the top of them. It could be party time again in the Shire.
I hope it is. Look, I love the Sharks Dragons local derby. It's one of my favorite games of the year. I do like to watch these teams go just because they just seem to be a lot of feeling when they play each other, and it's always entertaining. It has been since the 90s. They've always been good games between these two teams. The fans, there's no love lost there's between any of them, and they usually come up with a good performance on the day. There's the Dragons a hit and miss. There's good stuff that goes on, and then they have an off day. So it'll be interesting to see who's off and who's on and who does what. And I think the Sharks at home and the way that they're traveling are absolute favourites. But you just don't write off the Dragons against the local rivals. Derby games are notoriously different to other games
Yeah.
because there is just so much feeling that between them, and players lift and things happen, and the crowd can go one way or the other, and you often get it's not the advantage it always should be because of the local, fans do travel to local derbies, etc. But I'm not so sure that so many can get into Shark Park these days to make enough of a difference for the Dragons from that point of view. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Sharks, but it's going to be a fascinating matchup.
Okay. Yeah. Look, I think the Sharks as well. The only real changes was, think they said Toby Rudolph's into the bench basically for Hau Tuipua. There's not much change anywhere else. But so look, and obviously
Ravalawa is back.
Ravalawa's come back, Lomax gone to the centres. So look, last time Lomax played centres, he had a fantastic game. So maybe he'll do it again. But yeah, look, I don't see a way the Dragons win it without the Sharks being off their game. So, you know, maybe they can get them off their game. But yeah, I really think the Sharks will win this, and they should win it fairly easily.
Yeah, some Zach Lomax magic. Hopefully, maybe Shark Dragons fans are hoping for, but yeah, I can't see him. I can't see it myself.
All good. All right. Well, that's all the games we've gone through last week as well. So I think that might be it. Unless you've got anything else, unless you can think of my double bang last names that we could get in the Warriors team, it's pretty much the end of the episode.
That's it. Look, thanks for having me on again, David, and thanks for letting us take last week when you were away on leave. And
You
yeah.
guys are more than welcome to do it anytime you want to, if I'm not up to it. And you know, like, I'm very happy to to do this. I love chatting footy anyway, but yeah, like sometimes life gets in the way of it, obviously, and it was just a bit tough last week. I obviously, didn't really want to record. I mean, we're not that we kind of, I mean, at the start of this episode, you guys would have heard some of the issues we had, but we had even more issues with my laptop, so it wasn't great. But yeah, we hopefully everyone stuck through the first minute or two when it was a bit dodgy, and got to the end here. And yeah, you got to hear us make fun of some people's names.
Always, yeah, I'm not sure that goes down well in every community, but
Oh, look, we're not
let's
making
hope
fun of
no
their
one was
actual
offended.
names. I think we just love the fact that there's a lot of guys with a similar thing where they've got two names instead of one.
Yeah, that's it.
All good. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And hopefully everyone enjoys the footy. We'll be back next week. I'll be enjoying not losing for once this week. That'd be really good. And yeah.
I heard the buy were tough this year.
Look, I feel like Mike Acevo is going to get put in the sin bin for coat-hanging and for elbowing the fight right in the middle of the E. So I don't know why he's going to do it, but it would be a problem. But yeah, anyway, look, like I said, Gutherson's going to be out for 4 weeks. Moses isn't back yet. This next week when we talk, this Parramatta team, I'll be very interested to see who they name. Could have Morgan Harper in the front row, just for fun. I feel like Brad Arthur might just have a, for shits and giggles game and just put whoever he wants in there. I don't know. There's not much else left.
I think what you should do is offer Morgan Harper to Ricky Stewart to play in the number 9 jersey in exchange for Zach Wolford.
We need a nine. We need at least two more backs. We need a replacement half. We now need a new fullback. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. But we're not coming last at this point, so it's still good.
No.
All good. All right. Thanks, Richard. I'll talk to you later next time.
Thanks, David.